Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Many of you know that the past few weeks were a little bit rough as I dealt with my family and I having COVID-19. Thankfully, we are all currently healthy and looking forward to getting everything back to normal. The Walnut Grovecast spinoff, Wagon Talks, will have a new episode released next week, and I hope if you have an interesting coming on that you will reach out to me at Mark, M-E-R-K, at walnutgrovecast.com. And to those who have reached out already, I will be returning your messages in the next couple weeks to get you on the schedule. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support: David Webb, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Lydia, Stacey Corrigan, Elvira Dubas, Candy Gleason, Angie Zodava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Rebecca Frederick, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, a very fun podcast, Anne Quinn, Jill Stellman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell from the also very fun Retro TV podcast, Kim and Jack Lair, Chris Hassler from the always hilarious VHS Rewind podcast, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Sanderson, Stephanie Carnes, Whitney Griggs, Kelly Milkey, Alicia, Rachel Boren, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, which is all about the $6 million man, Jeannie Comer, Jeannie Schneider Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Julia Monin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, The No Agenda Podcast, full of information, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Whitney, Julia Jin, Chris Cooling from the super informative Forgotten.tv podcast, Don Roberts, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman and Liz Serha, Brian S., and Bobby Young. Thank you all for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. So without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you live in 1863. Hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I'll turn that off. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Raven Stone. He's an author, musician, and content creator. After graduating from Columbia College Chicago with a degree in comedy writing and performance, he moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan for a change of pace. Raven found a following on TikTok after posting Little House on the Prairie content, which also includes his opinions on amazing retro topics, which really spoke to my heart, such as Bewitched and Laughing. Raven has completed his first young adult novel, which is entitled A Good Old-Fashioned American Love Story, and is currently working on his journey towards publication. Please welcome to the show, for a review, Raven Stone. How are you doing, Raven?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I'm a big fan of your TikTok channel, which is kind of new to me. And yeah. I went down this rabbit hole of Raven Stone.
That's funny. People say that all the time, and they're like, this is like just watching the show. It's so fun.
And I discovered it while I was sick, and I was like, what is this? And I was like, it totally cheered me up. It was great. I couldn't stop laughing. And not only thank you for coming on the show, but thank you for doing it. It's such a good idea.
Yeah, I think that it wasn't something. I grew up on Little House on the Prairie. I rewatch it every few years, and it's just a comfort show for me. So I got on TikTok just to be well-rounded as an author and be, you know, accessible on every platform. And I was just making videos about things that I liked. And then I started with the how many shots would it take me to sleep with the men of Little House on the Prairie video.
I was going to play the audio of that. Do you mind if I play that?
No, not at all. That was my first big one.
It was not the first one I saw of yours, but I got to say, I go back and I'm like, it's so funny. All right, I'm just going to play it if that's
Okay.
okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go through and see how many shots it would take me to sleep with the men of Little House on the Prairie. Starting off with Charles Ingalls, 0 shots, because look at his hair, his face. He's shirtless in an episode where he falls out of a tree and breaks his ribs. 0 shots. Here we have Nels Olsen, the shopkeeper. I'd say 3 or 4, because he's kind. Here we have Adam, Mary's husband, 0 shots. He was my childhood crush. He's just gorgeous and kind. Here we have the Doc Baker, I'm gonna say 7 or 8. He's very scrunchy. It's the Reverend Alden, 100 shots. I would rather die than sleep with the Reverend Alden. And finally.
Oh, I cut it off right before Almanzo. Hold on.
Oh,
All right, we're gonna go.
Wait, can you fast forward TikTok? Sorry.
no, it just loops back over.
What did I do? I clicked it right at Almanzo, which on this show we don't use the mon.
No, I didn't learn that until one of my lives where somebody commented and said it's pronounced Almanzo.
Holy cow. I'm gonna edit in the Almanzo part because it's so funny. I just thought I just couldn't stop laughing at so many of your videos. And do you just do them on the fly? Like you're like, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I'll just
Yeah,
fire it
I
up.
mean, it used to be where I would be talking about, like, I wasn't doing the episode commentary yet, and I wasn't really doing the scene reenactments either. It was just kind of after that first video, I would pick a character and then talk about them, do commentary on that specific character. Like, I did one on Harriet, and I did one on Nellie, did one on John Garvey. So those were videos that I was like, oh yeah, I'll just see what I have to say about this. And then, I kept getting more followers and more people, telling me how much joy my videos brought, which is the best part because I didn't
Yes.
expect that. And then one day I just decided to dress up as Mrs. Olsen and
Oh,
do a
killed me.
little.
I swear to God, it killed me.
Well,
I don't know where you got that dress.
it's my apron, and then I just for all of the costumes, I just use my button-up shirts.
There's one, though. It looks exactly like what she's wearing in the episode that we're going to be reviewing
Oh,
today.
the plaid.
Yeah, there's a plaid one. I was like, he like completely nailed
Yeah, that's
it.
become my token Mrs. Olsen shirt.
This is it, actually. I'm gonna play one more because I can't believe I cut that one off. But
Okay.
do you have a personal favorite? It's hard to fall in love with your own work, but
Yeah, I mean, the ones that are the most fun for me to make are definitely where I'm having a little passive aggressive fight between Mrs. Olsen and Mrs. Ingalls.
that is the one that my mouse was just over right now.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you said that. You're wearing. It's just amazing, and I'm just gonna play it. It's really well done. You get into character so well, you're like a complete natural. I really hope that everybody's listening heads over and checks out your channel because it is so funny. But here's the audio anyway. But the audio, although it's going to be funny, it just doesn't do it justice without the video. But here we go.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Ingalls. Good morning, Mrs. Olson. No EGGS today, huh? Beg your pardon? Oh, you'll have to forgive me. I've been helping Nellie prepare for the spelling bee at the school. Will any of your children be participating? Yes, Mary will be participating. Oh, how cute. I'll expect Nellie to take first place, of course. I was quite the speller in my day. I'm sure you were, Mrs. Olson. Oh, yes, well, us city folk are often more intelligent than country folk. Sometimes you can be a real PAIN in my sight. Good day, Mrs. Olson. Good day.
It's just so funny. It's like the best in the world.
Thanks.
You really nailed it. It's so funny. There's another one that I thought is really funny where you do the Reverend Alden and you put blush on your face.
Yeah.
Because let's be real here. He had a few for each sermon.
Yeah, very, very blushy.
When I saw just the thumbnail, I couldn't stop laughing. But today, Raven, you were kind enough to take the time to discuss with me an episode that came out on January 15th, 1975. It's called Family Quarrel. This was your choice.
Yes, I love this episode. It's such a great character episode for Harriet.
I would definitely say it's... finally, we get an episode where it's not a total focus on the Ingalls, right? And I'm going to play some of the cheery music because I think back in these times, in the period of time where TV was coming out, you would always set the tone by the tone of the opening shot, whether it be the Brady Bunch or really anything. So with Little House, it's hard to see what's going to happen. I mean, you know, Carrie could be falling down a well. Right. All we know. We're just not really sure. So yeah. This is the music that we are treated to in the beginning. Any second. So I'm not really sure where that's going, actually, when that sets up. This is also, this is a very serious episode when you really look at it, right? The separation of a family,
right.
Which is really weird because we're talking season 16 in the first season.
Yes.
It's kind of daring for Michael Landon to go and allow this to be done. It's a big decision here, I think.
Right. I mean, it was, and you get that from Caroline and Charles in that episode where they're like, maybe we should have Nellie and Willie come over here for a few days. And I think it was, what was it? It was 74, right?
Or 75.
It was 75. Yeah. Cause it was later in the season and divorce wasn't obviously super popular and let's go for it. But I mean, it was happening. And,
well, my parents were divorced by this point.
Yeah, so I think it was a good, showing how, representing that to kids and viewers.
Yeah, probably Michael Landon. I don't know what his, I don't know what the timeline is of Michael Landon's love life, but I probably am going to guess that he was through at least one divorce at this point.
Yeah. So, yeah,
but here we are. We're in the mercantile, Raven, and nothing's on sale. nothing's ever on sale, right?
No, but,
we're setting up the shop. We're packing everything up, and I don't know. Harriet's just in a pretty foul mood. I just not really sure. We also see a bloodhound dog with no name. did you catch a name? I don't think there was ever a name.
No, I think it's just kind of there.
It's like Flash. I don't know. Yeah. not really sure what that thing is, but he looks like a very nice dog.
We'll call it Little Joe.
he is papers. We know that much.
Yeah.
Little Joe is papers. Probably spent $6 on that dog.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hunty. That dog is good for is barking, digging holes. And making messes.
He's a good dog. Now, you saw his papers.
Uh-huh. All over the floor. Dog. Phew.
So here we get the famous shot of Nels taking a shot of cough medicine.
Right.
Who knows what's in that stuff, right?
I know,
it could be a mixture of morphine.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what the Doc Baker is prescribing these days, but... definitely something strong enough to help you through your marriage. Yeah.
And let's be real here. This is the AM. Like this is...
He's going through
Caroline.
<it.
laughs> Caroline has finally sent her kids off to school. She put together her little basket of eggs. And it's just, whatever you... Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But she catches him drinking it, calls it the demon run, rum, which is just so funny.
I love phrases like that. It's just, you know, the demon's liquor or the juice of the devil. It's just so,
yeah,
so very creative.
But it's also very accurate.
Oh, for sure.
So if we're going to use the 100-year rule, which is what I tend to use here, this is 1875.
Mm-hmm.
So during this period of time, there was a lot more alcohol consumption, so much more than even now.
Mm-hmm.
People would drink alcohol like crazy because it was actually safer in a lot of ways because well water, you know, it's one of your kids falls down a well, yeah. Rocks down, yeah, you can't drink it anymore.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for falling down the well.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah, and it just wasn't exactly very sanitary to drink the water without some type of processing, and the processing just didn't happen, I'm going to guess, very often in the middle of Walnut Grove.
Right.
Maybe. Who knows?
I'm not sure they're worried about that.
I'm not worried about mine. So the alcohol was a safer, you know, beer was kind of a plentiful drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, but candy was also really good. Here we have Nell's having the booze kind of kick in a little bit,
yeah.
as kids going to take a couple handfuls of candy.
Get out of that candy!
Stingy!
I'm not stingy. Their teeth will fall out. Is that what you want to happen? You want their teeth to fall out?
You may each have 3 pieces of candy. Take them nicely and go on to school.
And Nels is like, I'm going to kill everyone.
I know. I just love how she thinks that she's being firm but generous at the same time.
As a parent, that's the worst thing you can do. Yeah. I mean, just belittling the other parent. Not only belittling them, but doing it right in front of them immediately.
Right. Holy no God. Questions asked.
Oh, man. I just don't know how. My wife has watched Little House.
Yeah.
And she was never a big fan of the period of time, and she never watched it. But she's just like, why doesn't the town get together and just kill Harry? Like, you know, it should have been one of these kind of episodes. I bet you there's a script floating around.
Yeah, somewhere. No, I mean, she was lovable at her core. And
I loved her.
I mean, I have my... You know, my followers on my TikTok always commenting, and they're like, I just hated her when I was growing up. But I never did. I thought, you know, sometimes she could be a little bit scary and maybe a little bit mean, but I never hated her, and I was never scared of her because she was so funny.
I don't remember my opinion of her when I was a kid watching this. Mm-hmm. But it was always Nellie that I would focus on in that family as the evil one.
Oh, yeah.
Not really Harry.
Well,
Harry, everybody kind of had everybody knew a mom like Harriet a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the overall, like the characteristics of the, you know, maybe I want my kids playing with other kids or, you know, maybe we have a little bit more money than you. An air of grandeur that necessarily isn't there, you know?
Yeah.
Not really.
Especially in the middle of Walnut Grove.
Right. Well, in one of my videos, I accidentally referenced, or I was talking about Country Girls, and
yes.
I was like, I don't get where you're coming from, Nellie, because you live in downtown Walnut Grove. You don't live in Winoka. You don't live in Chicago. You're a country girl too.
But we don't have a farm and our pot doesn't smell like horse manure.
I know.
That's what she would say. She'd tear you apart and we both, you know, just be crying a bunch.
I know. Well, she dishes it and then when she gets it back, she freaks out because she can't handle anything.
Yeah, she does not have a thick skin.
No.
But we have a customer, well, sort of a customer. We have a third party seller coming in and Nels just wakes up. He's like, what?
Good morning, Mrs. Ingalls.
Good morning, Mr. Olson.
And how are you this fine day?
Fine, thank you.
It's like, tone it down, buddy.
I know. It's early.
I get it. She's attractive, but what?
I know.
And I swear, the look of death from Harry, it's like, who is this man who is drunk?
Yeah, in my shop, with my customers.
Talking to Caroline Ingalls.
My mortal
yourself?
Enemy.
Fine, thank you.
Mrs. Olson.
Yes.
I hope you're quite well.
Well enough.
I couldn't pull that off on my best day. Well enough. Like,
it's just very, no, I don't want to talk about it, but ask me more.
It's like, hey, how you doing? Fine. Like, what's your problem?
I know. Like, not
well enough.
Nothing at all.
Well enough.
You know, I'm freeze framed here and I'm looking. They have like these vessels in front of the candy jars.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just, like, if you go to Whole Foods, maybe Whole Foods 10 years ago,
yeah.
Where you could just take a scoop of something and buy a pound of it.
Uh-huh.
What is it? I don't even know what it is. Everybody's a farmer. They wouldn't need anything that's there.
Right. They're pretty self-sufficient. And I mean,
yeah, maybe beans.
Yeah. Dried goods.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know what? It should have a little thing there.
Yeah.
Dried goods. Some of these clips are a little bit long and quiet, so sorry. She's inspecting the eggs.
Oh, yes.
These eggs are not the usual eggs you bring to us. You didn't perhaps save the good ones for your own use?
Just the opposite. As always, these are the best.
My kids get the crappy eggs.
Yeah, they didn't earn it.
They didn't earn it. Of course, you get the best eggs.
Yeah.
And who's buying eggs? I don't know. I've always had this question. Who buys eggs here? I mean, everybody has a farm.
Right. I've never heard anybody complain about the eggs they're getting at Olson's Mercantile. I mean, I think that she's just, you know, collecting all of the best eggs from all of the people in Walnut Grove, and she uses them.
You know, it's possible that she was coming up with the idea of a ketogenic diet.
Oh.
And she doesn't have hen. I mean, I'm chicken. So yeah. She needs the eggs for her own way of eating.
She's always been awesome. A woman ahead of her time.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, I can't pay the usual price.
I don't understand.
These eggs are not up to standard.
There's nothing wrong with those eggs.
Well, I think I'm the judge of that.
Judge? You're not the judge of anything. You want to know what you are? I'm going to tell you what you are.
What do you think you're doing?
You are a mean, nasty-tempered woman. And it would be better off for this whole town.
You're calling mean and nasty-tempered?
It would be better off for this whole town if you were locked up in a cage and fed with a stick.
What?
You have made life miserable.
Spiteful mouse!
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you something. It's about time I put my foot down. It's about time you found out who wears the pants in this family. From now on, I will judge the eggs around here.
Her face is like...
horrified.
Oh, my God. She's just like, who is this man? And they're breaking rule number probably 8 or something. You never have a fight in front of, you know, somebody. I'm expecting it to go to Caroline and have her eating popcorn the way she's watching.
I know. I mean, yeah, that's just bad customer service.
It's just Caroline Ingalls.
I know. She might as well be
family. What? I'm sorry.
Might as well be family.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. You go right ahead and judge them.
Now, Nels is a gentleman. Nels yeah. says, I'll pay you for the eggs anyway.
Yeah.
What? And this is only the first of two head bashing of eggs. I mean, we also have this gimmick come back when Nelly is covered in eggs.
Yes, I think there's definitely a caliber of how passive aggressive are you today on a scale of, oh, good morning, to smashing a basket of eggs on somebody's head.
Oh, man, you have to be really mad to do that. Really mad. So, but yeah, Ma's face is like, holy cow. We get Charles's reaction, which is always maniacal. His laugh is infectious.
The
but
giggle.
It's, yeah, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to play it, but it's like, I think that Michael Landon was genuinely a fan of himself. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you've mentioned it in your videos and everything. You know, he's shirtless very often.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he loves being the center of attention for episodes like this, I think. And anyway, right. In this, I think he really shows through. And this is like the Charles we all really, really love. I mean, mm-hmm. We like all the Charles.
Right.
Except for like maybe the bearded one.
I don't know. I'm definitely not picky when it comes to Charles.
How can you be? Look at the
guy. I know.
Look at that head of hair.
I know. Very full.
Yeah, like totally not accurate for the period of time, but that's okay.
But great for the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
Charles, it's not funny.
I know, Carol, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
In spite of what you say, I can't help feeling that I'm at least partly responsible.
Oh, Carol, and the Olsons have been building up to a falling out for years. It would have happened if you'd have been modest.
Since I was there, I might at least have prevented it or stopped it before it went too far.
This is the most exciting thing to happen in WannaCrow.
I know. It's very, it would be in the Harriet's happenings if she wasn't the author.
And Ma is so, like, upset about it, but she's not. This is exciting for her. This, you know.
Well, it's like it gives her, like, a little social project to work on.
Well, you know, when they're around the dinner table, they're always just talking gossip.
Right.
It really, I mean, even later, we get to see the kids totally get in on this. The Ingalls is really kind of like a Dear Abby. Well, not really Dear Abby, like a Page Six.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the place to discuss the gossip of Walnut Grove. And who knew it was so exciting?
Right. Well, I mean, they're all involved with everybody in Walnut Grove, even, you know, citizens of Walnut Grove that we see for one episode. And apparently they're best friends and then we never see them again.
Or they die.
Or they die. Yep. From drinking that well water.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot of tension all of a sudden, though. We get an inside view of Nels and Harriet in their sitting parlor. And I love their house. Their house,
me,
it's a little dark,
too.
But they didn't have light bulbs, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's the excuse.
No, it's like little 1800s country prairie house dream.
Well, I'm sure you've gone to museums that are set up like this, where they have the rope in front of it. It's like, you can't pass. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, as a kid, maybe you're trying to reach out to touch the velvet.
I just need to touch the velvet chair.
Anything.
I just need
anything to. Anything that I'm not. Like, get your grubby hands off that. But yeah, Nels is pretty pissed. Nels is doing like the passive aggressive, like, Mrs. Olsen, may I speak? But he apologizes. He does the right thing up to a point. I think maybe everyone who's ever been in a relationship, maybe when they were younger, maybe throughout life where you put your foot in your mouth, you know, everything's kind of going okay. And then you see that one thing.
Yeah.
You know? This is that one thing.
I was doing so great.
Yeah. Like, oh, what happened? Yeah.
So?
I know. I said some things that I shouldn't have said, even if they were true.
True?
Well, you can be a pecky woman if the mood takes you. I mean, you can get pretty mean with your nagging at times.
Get a thesaurus, sir.
I know. Your verbiage is all off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's But he knows what he's saying, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like at this point, the confrontation in front of Caroline happened. And I think in Nels' mind, he's trying to move forward in a better direction. But she's in the mindset that she just needs an apology and things are going to be the same.
Well, I discovered another TikTok account by Nels, the real Nels.
Oh.
And he was doing the shots of how much it would take for him to sleep with Caroline. So, and it was one, actually, believe it or not. And I think he took that shot in the scene.
Yeah, so, yeah. So
I just love that whole, that gag is awesome.
It's great. I just also, this dramatic sound effects of when he says, but it was, you know, it was true. And you
It's the bell. I don't have a bell like that here, but yeah, like that. That's what, it's very, like very, dinner's up.
Yeah.
But yeah, she blows up because she's, you know, she's a hurt woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he said was pretty bad. I mean, right.
And then to it wasn't even just that he said it, but he said it in front of Caroline. And that's not just, I mean, regardless of whether or not that's like her unofficial enemy in Walnut Grove, she's another person on the outside of this marriage. It's embarrassing. I would be mad too.
Yeah, me too. But, and well, then maybe we'll side with her and what's about to
come. Yeah.
And she's just sitting there. I don't know if she's sewing or crocheting or doing one of those decorative things, but
little circle embroidery.
Yeah, I forget what they're called.
Needlepoint.
It'll come to needlepoint. Yes.
Did it ever occur to you that I might have something to nag about?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, you like to nag a man, and that's the truth of it.
Now that is not true.
Yes, it is. No. You're a nag.
You are a cheap excuse for a man. You are lazy and cowardly, sniveling, stubborn jackass. And from now on, you can just sew your own shirt.
Good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I do side with her on that because, well, first of all, I mean, when you hurt each other with anybody, you're in that moment, you're going to go off on each other. So whether or not he meant what he said or she meant what she said, you know, it's all coming from a place of, I thought you liked me.
Also, when you apologize, maybe you should follow through.
Right. Don't have it be like a backhanded apology, because why are you apologizing? You're just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you're just extending it.
I'm so sorry, but you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah. What's the point? It's like then it's just an endless cycle of apologizing for things.
Now we have in the little house, we have Pa reading The Home Mechanic
book.
Yeah, The Home Mechanic. Are you familiar with this book at all?
No, I'm not.
I'm a nerd with this kind of stuff.
Very interested now.
The Home Mechanic is a book from late 1800s. It's The Home Mechanic, complete self-instructor, carpentry, painting, horseshoeing, soap making, candy making, baking, taxidermy, tanning, et cetera.
Oh my God.
Et cetera.
Really? Yeah. What is that? Et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I have books that are similar to this, and mm-hmm. the et cetera is crazy. So
yeah,
like make your own bleach, you know, all types of, you know, things for like, you know, what else can burn and what else can be explosive and make, you know, crazy stuff. But it was published. That's the thing, is I'm trying to get my hands around. I'm trying to get an actual publication date. Publication date is 1897, so it might not be totally accurate here.
Yeah,
but you know, we'll give it some give it some leeway.
Well, yeah.
But you could buy reprints of this, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes because you can read the whole thing on archive.org.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody scanned the whole thing. I don't know who these people are, but just to give you an idea. In here, the et cetera, things like diseases of the horse's foot, you know, how to fix that and how to make furniture.
Yeah.
If you want to be Pa, Raven, if you want to be Charles.
Yeah, this is the book.
This is how you can do it. But these are valuable recipes for everyone. Tooth washes, remedies for vermin.
It's just like basically a how-to guide on being a human and self-sufficient.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's about 800 pages. It's a huge book. So
everything is covered.
Yeah. Pretty much everything except, how to be just charming.
That's an etiquette.
The charm of a woman. So, or the charm of a man without a shirt on.
Yeah.
So they're in bed. We have an ongoing joke that whenever Ma's making popcorn, it's her, you know, little nudge to have another kid.
I heard that. Somebody said that to me, where that was like the theory.
it is my theory, and very often I'll play like popcorn popping in the background when I think it's about to happen. But I think this was just a time where maybe Carrie was being annoying and she wouldn't stop staring. You know, because her bed is right across the way, remember?
Right. I imagine just waking up in the middle of the night looking down and seeing these glowing eyes staring at me in the darkness. It's horrifying. Yeah.
Two sets of eyes, because if you ever look to where she sleeps, to the left, it's all sticks.
Uh-huh.
In the wall. The wall is unfinished.
Oh.
So I bet you there's stuff in there. There's living creatures.
Oh, for sure. It's a home to many more.
When Mary first lost her vision,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't put her where Carrie slept.
Yeah.
They put her in the living, you know, in the
rocking,
dining area.
Yeah, the little rocking chair.
And you have to kind of wonder, why didn't Carrie go up to the loft, you know, and have, you know, why did they have to put the bed right there? Carrie in the loft. Mary, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Carrie wasn't a baby anymore at, like, what, I mean, she was probably one or two, like, two-ish in the first season. So, I mean, she'd be like five or six when Mary lost her sight.
I don't know. I just think they have this issue with Carrie. And I know a lot of people have issues with Carrie. Mm-hmm. I've personally adopted her as my new favorite.
She needs love more than the others.
Oh, yeah, she does. All right, so here are the Ingalls in bed. Charles is reading something about, you know, the collection and preservation of spiders. We're going to do that next spring.
Real Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Charles, would you mind if I asked Mrs. Olson to let Nellie and Lily spend a few days with us?
Now, this would have been a perfect opportunity to have Laura in the background go, no!
If that Nellie Olson comes and stays here, I will be sleeping in the barn.
Perfect.
I don't mind. Just don't know what good it's going to do.
Well, sometimes it helps just to spend a little time alone together.
Whatever you think.
I'll ask her tomorrow.
Stop nagging me.
No, I'm reading my book.
these two are the, I mean, this is the goal relationship, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And they've been together for what? At least 10 years.
Well, I mean, yeah. And then we have that flashback episode where, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his real name, but you know, the actor that played Albert.
Matthew Labyrinth.
Right. Yeah. Where they have that flashback where he's a little, or am I misremembering? No, it's that.
No, he plays him.
Yeah, but that's not the episode I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one where Caroline's talking about when they first met.
Yeah, and it's like all like dreamy and everything.
Yeah, like the Alyssa episode with Carrie.
But, you know, it's kind of like they've told that story maybe three different times mm-hmm. in three different ways. And Caroline, we know, she grew up with a little bit of money.
Right.
Yeah, that was always weird with her stepdad.
I would never choose money over Charles is the thing either, so I really understand her on that.
Well, I don't know. Charles does smell like horse manure. Working people smell like hard work. I forget what the quote is. But so Charles kind of makes a jab saying, if you're going to bring eggs, you better hard boil. Rah, 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 rah. So this next scene, we get kind of a cool mid-70s, which was appropriate for the time. Kind of, I don't know if you've ever watched the TV show SWAT. I don't know if that's your favorite type of thing. But it's kind of like this funky thing going on that's just a little too funky for Little House. But, but somehow it works. I would pay good money for video of the orchestra playing pieces.
Oh, for sure. They're very interested.
There are a number of episodes where they have the old synthesizers and mm-hmm. they're doing little things. For whatever reason, I thought this was a little funkier, but it's, I'm going to call it the man and his dog theme because Mr. Olsen's walking his bloodhound.
Right.
With some really nice luggage, by the way. He
He's a classy man.
Oh, man. He knows how to dress. I would say, all right, let's put in order of best dressed on the show. I'm going to say that Adam is probably, he's the one who's just from the beginning best dressed.
Yeah.
But Nels is right up there, though. Nels is right there.
Yes. I think Nels, I mean, often when we see him, you know, he's at work. You know, he's working in the shop or the back room. But, you know, like you said with Adam, he's, I think it's that educator, that teacher vibe of being very polished and clean cut. And I've always noticed that.
But Percival's also somebody who can fill out a three-piece suit very well.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, I mean, definitely it's impossible not to see the contrast between the city people that we see on the show or the people with more resources on the show, having, you know, more of a style, or not a style, just being put together and being able to afford those different clothes.
The way you just use the word city, it's like the city people versus the I'm not even going to say what they are.
Sometimes I get stuck in Mrs. Olsen and it's hard to come back out.
I think we all have to be Mrs. Olsen sometimes.
Oh, yeah, whatever gets you through the day.
So here's Gossip 2.0. This is Mary coming in to deliver some news. Kids are crying, Ma.
Pa, guess what? Mr. Olsen doesn't come home anymore. He moved out to the hotel. Now he really doesn't have a father agent.
Now, hold on a minute. Are you telling me Mr. Olsen moved to the hotel bag and baggage?
He sure did. Bag, baggage, and dog.
Go on upstairs. Get your coats off. Why don't you start your homework?
Now, there's another version of Ma that would have stopped them right away.
Right.
So we don't talk about people behind their backs.
That's none of your business, Laura Ingalls.
Right. And it's like, Charles, go into town and find out what happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's the I have to set a good example to raise good children, but I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, they didn't have soap operas back then, but, you know, this is as good. This is getting juicier by the day.
Right. That's the thing. People that follow me, they're like, I've never watched Little House, but I started because of your videos, because I had no idea that it was so dramatic and so intense. Like, I feel like
that's the thing.
Perception is not very accurate when they think Little House on the Prairie. They think it's just going to be farmers farming.
Well, your channel does, you do like a primer, I don't know, is that the right word, of an episode. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play another one of your clips if you don't mind. This is, I mean, it's going to take people off the topic of family quarrel, but there's a couple I didn't watch, The Raccoon. Which always gets me when I see the raccoon thing, because they spell the word
raccoon. I know. I didn't notice that until I did that episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I probably didn't acknowledge it until I reviewed it. But let's see. I'm going to play that one. I'm going to play the raccoon. And I think, in all seriousness, you bring out things about the episode that are unique with the episode, but also kind of make you want to go and watch and see, like, all right, is this out of context? And
yeah.
No, it's not, really.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the episode where Laura gets bit by the raccoon.
You sure look scrumptious.
Scrumptious? Are you going to eat her? As per usual, it's Mary's fault. She sounds like Sarah Paulson. Murderer! Look at those manly hands. Mary is a bad idea factory. Ugh. He did not expect this when he came home.
Hi,
Pa. I don't know why, but I blame Carrie. You gotta take that raccoon to obedience school. Call PetSmart.
Bit Jack.
Yeah, Mary, a wild raccoon bit Jack. Trouble in the coop. I'm not even gonna say anything here. This is where rabies come into play. I can just hear Mrs. Olsen going, "That rabbit Ingalls girl." Melissa Sue was a wonderful child actress, but Mary just wasn't a likable character. The poor little
That's
rabbit thing.
To me. Nothing.
Lie better than that. This is where we learned there were two raccoons and Jasper wasn't rabid. Let's talk about the episode.
So you even got the crying Charles in there, which is another version of Michael Landon that he loves to put on screen.
Oh yeah, I'm sensitive and soft, but also very firm and shirtless.
Go make popcorn. I'll be in there. In a minute. But yeah, so this is the Ingalls talking about the new gossip of the town.
Oh, Charles, this is terrible. A family broken apart like that. I wish there was something we could do.
Don't worry about it. He's only moved 100 yards away. Walnut Grove's a small town. Got no place to go but home.
I suppose you're right.
Now, if you listen closely, and probably you'll probably notice this. Mm-hmm. The audio sounds weird sometimes, and because they're adding the dialogue after the fact.
Yeah.
So the audio is terrible on Little House on the Prairie. I was a kid, I noticed it. And I'm a musician as well. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I want to mention about your channel. You have a number of songs on there. I thought they were actually quite good.
Thank you.
I enjoyed them. I do just want to mention your TikTok channel real quick, because I don't think I mentioned it. It's Mr. Stone Author. I will put a link to everything, including your Instagram and Facebook and website, in the show notes. But we'll mention that again. I'm sorry I didn't mention that earlier.
No, you're good.
Yeah, Mr. Stone Author. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it. And I don't usually enjoy people playing music. I'm so like – no, I mean, I listen to very indie music.
Okay.
And so when usually people are playing, it's overproduced. It's like, oh, what is this?
I feel like a lot of indie music kind of blurs together after a certain, depending on how far you're venturing from your normal.
Indie music?
Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
Just if you're listening to really small artists that are, putting their videos on TikTok and stuff, it's hard when there's not a strong point of view to really latch on.
You had a Goldie Hawn clip, which I thought was really, it was timely as well.
It
was about the Capitol. I loved it. I love Goldie Hawn.
Me too.
Big fan of Chris Robinson, who married his daughter for a while.
Yeah.
But Goldie Hawn used to be so amazing to look at. She's such a unique looking person.
Right. Especially in her Laugh-In days when she was so, so skinny. Her eyes and her mouth were just that much more dominant in what you see.
You did this one Laugh-In thing, which I just thought you pulled off perfectly. It was like, I don't know. You have a lot of, you don't have an issue with putting yourself out there, which I don't know. That's maybe one of the things that I enjoy about your channel is you're not taking yourself very seriously, but what you're doing, you're taking seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but I'm going to do it right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I tried looking at other TikTok things and, like my son will show me something and it's like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It's like, I don't want to watch his Minecraft meme or something.
Yeah,
like
I don't want to watch you Fortnite. Dance.
Yeah, but I thought it was fun. And you dance in this one Laugh-In thing that I saw.
The cocktail party.
Was it? I don't know if it was a cocktail party. I'll have to dig it up. I'll put a link to that in the show. All right. So they're upset. I mean, Ma's like, oh my God, this is terrible. This is the worst news I've heard. Since the egg,
right?
The egging.
It's kind of worse.
Let's see what are we at now? We have Charles basically talking about. Oh, you know what we see? I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Nels goes to work. He stayed at the hotel, but the next day he goes to the mercantile as though he's just a worker, and he even taps on the door.
The morning commute.
Who knew that door even locks?
I always thought it was a swinging door.
Now, apparently this is the day after Thanksgiving because there are more customers online than I've ever seen outside of the mercantile.
Wow.
I counted 10. I don't know. I don't know why there are so many customers. There are a bunch of people I've never seen on the show before, but if you look closely, it's the same actors as in the church in a later scene.
Oh, I wonder, I mean, you know, how many people in this small town are not going to hear that the Olsons are having a spat? How many
you think people, that's it?
That's where I would be.
We're here to see the show.
In line, I'd be like, so how's everything at home, Mrs. Olson? Is everything good and normal? And is Nels here?
Well, that's what Caroline was doing.
Right.
Right. It's like, I'll take your kids. like CPS showing.
They need some space.
So, in the back room where Charles, you know, Charles just walks into the back room and, you know, he's, you know, he's Charles Ingalls.
Yeah.
You've heard. You know, with the Native Americans, they've written songs about him. You know, it's Charles Ingalls is a legend. He doesn't really have, he has full access to everything.
Wow.
So he confronts Nell, sees what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Some of those people out there buy something. Most of them come to look. I'm a clown, Charles. Now, come on, you're a man with a problem. We all know that.
Now, that's a weird comment. You have a problem. We all know that.
Yeah, that's saying, don't worry. We've all been talking about the doom of your marriage.
Right. It's like, here's 8 pages I wrote. I wrote some fan fiction.
Right. Like, I mean, at least be subtle about it.
Yeah. It's, why doesn't Charles just say, all right, and this is going to sound like a pretty sexist comment.
Yeah.
Go, you know what? Apologize. Go buy her flowers. Cook dinner.
New brooch.
Yeah, get a nice little brooch. You tell her to pick out anything from the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
You get it in 6 to 8 weeks. It's, you know, it's exactly what should be done. But
yeah.
Charles doesn't offer that advice.
Well, I feel like they don't want to come up with a quick and easy solution to gloss it over. I feel like Nels is at the end of his rope. His patience has finally run out. If he only knew how much more he would need. But I think this, we need a solution, not to just pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much the talk of the town. I mean, they even go up to Reverend Alden. I do want to mention Caroline does approach Mrs. Olson to take her kids for a few days or something. And she declines, but I think she sees that it was a nice gesture.
The support.
I don't know if it's the next day. I'm going to guess it's within the same week. We have a potential sweet moment where Reverend Alden approaches the Olsons and offers some type of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. It's I guess it's appropriate, right?
It's not exactly. No, that's definitely something that I've had friends who have through their church sought out marriage advice through their pastor. So I that's not something that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Especially then. And in Walnut Grove, you're not gonna go to a therapist in the 1800s in a small town.
Well, we do get a psychological discussion coming up, which is I think goes to a darker place than it needs to. But here we are in church and this could potentially be a very sweet moment. Here, but something happens. The unspoken happens.
Now the one who stands before each of you is the same one that you promised to take for better, for worse. Think on that a moment.
We're holding hands. It's like Nels just looks angry and Harriet looks like she's grinding her teeth.
Yeah. Well, they're still mad.
Yeah, that's the thing. She has a nice brooch on, like, right now.
I love her brooches.
You disgraced me before the whole town and I want nothing less than a public apology.
I disgraced you!
Now, please.
You nagging, pecky woman!
Children, listen.
You disgraced me!
Oh, there he goes again, calling me by those ridiculous names!
I'm just telling you the truth!
Church.
There isn't another
you
man
alive!
You
are a stubborn,
constant, picking and nagging,
day
and night!
Please, there must be forgiveness.
Forgiveness? Don't talk to me about forgiveness until you've lived with a woman like that!
Ouch.
Oh my God. In church. In front of the reverend. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's
still
the
smells
thing.
Like death in here.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's, like I said, they're still mad at each other. You're not going to accomplish anything if you're still that mad at each other.
Yeah. So I probably it goes around town that didn't work. it's like, so Doc is like, you know what? in those 6 weeks that I went to medical school,
yeah.
I sat in on a psychological exam and I passed. So he approaches Hansen to speak to approach Mrs. Olsen.
Oh, right. Like kind of a cuckoo.
And I'm thinking that there's more to this. I think that he just wants Hansen to kind of hook up with Mrs. Olsen while Nels is out of the picture because Hansen, you know, is kind of a lonely guy.
Oh, yeah. And they're best friends.
And he is Swedish. He's got that accent. He's kind of exotic.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't go too high on your list of how many. Well, he does go high on your list of how many shots it would take. But
yeah. He's fine.
But he's got his own business.
Right.
You know, he does have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
And Doc gives him a reason why he needs to do it from a financial standpoint.
All right. The Olsons will close their store. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
All bills will become due and payable at once. People pay whatever they can. Cash will vanish. There won't be any money left for medical attention. Lumber. Oh, I can move my practice, but you can't move your mill. Do you think that will happen? I'm sure of it.
Look, you go in, you go out.
It's very, very specific chain of events that he's painting a picture of.
This is like such a guy thing, too. It's like there's so much. Doc, I want kind of a prequel to Doc. I want to know what he was like as a kid.
In med school.
Because he understands the world in ways that we cannot. And
Well, yeah. And I mean, the only time we really, I mean, not the only time, but one of the most memorable times that we see him as kind of something other than the doc is where Harriet's niece comes and visits and they have that weird romance.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
she's just and horrified she, by.
Most exotic woman to ever come on to Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
She actually, I reviewed that episode a few months ago, and when you really put the Harriet character next to her, what you see is there's a total correlation between these two. Harriet is just as exotic looking, really.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman. And it's just weird when you put them together, you see why they were chosen. But I forget her name. She's very famous, the woman who played the niece. But she almost has kind of a Spanish look. But it's I just thought she was one of my favorite one-offs.
Yeah.
And but that was sad. And also when Doc kind of bought the farm and failed at farming. Oh. That was another.
He gave it a try. He really did try.
He had Mary giving him advice.
That's a low. I mean,
yeah, you know your life is pretty bad when this cute little blonde hair girl's telling you how to farm.
Right.
But, here we have Charles just coming to the table. The girls are cutting apples. What a life, right?
I know.
What did you do today? I'm cutting apples for a pie.
That's not, I make apple pie all the time, so that's not very far from my reality.
This is a good life for you too, then.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think of those apples?
They're good.
Got a seedling ordered. Have our own tree next year. We won't have to depend on the Johnsons for pies and applesauce.
Some of these got worms in them.
Well, worms won't hurt you.
Worms won't hurt you. It's not. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't grow up learning that.
I know.
That's not something I was taught. Some of those apples don't look real to me.
Like the candied apples.
Yeah. But Mary makes a good point. She's like, she doesn't like the half worms because, you know, you ate the other.
No, it's a sudden revelation that you wish you hadn't had.
But I don't like the half worms. Then you know you ate the other half.
Well, worms must be pretty nourishing. Birds live on
them. Dick. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom.
What type of socialist crap is Charles trying to get him to do?
Well, we're not birds. We're people.
Exactly. So yeah, Ma comes in. Ma's in a mood. Ma's a little bit like what's going on here? And then get to this cue. She throws the girls on. She's like, "I'll finish the apples. You're doing it wrong anyway."
I'm gonna lose a finger.
She's wearing one of her outfits, which is it's weird with her. Like, she knows the clothing she wears it well, but mm-hmm. it's like super Amish and super, it shouldn't be flattering, but somehow it is.
She's just so classy. I think it's her,
yeah,
her personality. And regardless of what she's wearing, she just carries that elegance around her. And I think, like you said before, it's, you know, she comes from money, mm-hmm. you know, however much, but I mean, she is very refined, and I think that's why she handles Harriet so well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. When she walks in, she's very, very, just everything, her posture, everything is something about her mm-hmm. that just that, and it's something that Chris the Handyman really saw. Gil Gerard.
Oh, yeah.
when she took her hair down, I was like, right. What the heck?
Oh, that was
great.
Is that
great. Popcorn in the background? Better not be. The Mary, that's the Mary we love.
Yeah, the very, I'm going to protect my family. You will not, you'll build our little addition and then get out of here.
So I listen, Blue Eyes, I'm your pa now.
We get it, my eyes are blue.
You were saying something about men.
There are times when I think men are the most senseless creatures in the world.
Thank you.
Present company accepted, of course.
Well, what did all the rest of these men do to upset you so much?
Someone. I think it was Dr. Baker. Talked Mr. Hansen into making an attempt at courting Harriet Olson.
Now, we didn't get to see this scene,
yeah.
Which is such a shame.
I would have loved to see that.
If we have any animators out there listening, we need you to create scenes.
Yeah, just whip something up just so we can have
just visual. Whip it up. It's like totally insulting. Just do it really
just
quick.
Just do it real quick for free.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice.
What?
I suppose to make Nels Olson so jealous he'd come running back and take her in his arms.
Well, what did Mrs. Olson think about that?
What any decent woman would think. She was shocked. She was so shocked, she...
She's going out on a date with him tonight. They had some cough medicine. It's like, you know, you go to that scene where she's like drunk in the beginning, mm-hmm. where she drank the tonic from the doctor. Oh, give me for the buffalo.
She what?
She threw a whole scoop of flour on him.
Oh, she had eggs.
Charlie. It's not funny. No, I haven't told you the worst of it. You see, Mrs. Kennedy and Mrs. Whitworth and I were there. We had been trying to talk Harriet into making up her quarrel with Nels, and we were that close.
Who peels apples like this? They didn't have just an apple peeler. They had them.
With the knife.
Cut her thumb off.
I know. That gives me such anxiety. I don't even peel with an apple peeler. I have that electric peeler where you stick it in. It's just very satisfying to watch, but then you don't have to peel the apples.
I couldn't imagine having such luxuries.
A city folk. Sure it's couldn't. A city folk often have more luxuries like that.
Something you wouldn't know. So Mary and Laura are just basically saying how bad it was, you know, how terrible it is that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play this scene because it really goes to show you what suckers the Engels are.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would need a timeline. And this is something I've said on the show, and people have provided me with things.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to have a visual timeline as to when something happened. But Nellie has done terrible things to them. And they're just... And Mary is just like, let's give them a new chance, blah, blah, blah. And Laura's mind is like, I don't care. I'm happy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not that Nellie did one thing and she's holding a grudge. It's that Nellie consistently has it out for her.
Right. I mean, she doesn't get it. It's like, man, let's just have her over as a friend.
Well, I mean,
she doesn't want to be your friend.
No, that I would never be able. I would never. I like to think of myself as a very understanding and mature person. But if somebody recorded my voice talking about my crush and then played it for my crush, I would never talk to that person again.
No. It's a talking machine. I'm the greatest, most modern. Like, I can see her like turning. The greatest, the quickest.
Yeah. Did you see how sad Nellie looked today?
Kind of.
Some of the girls were teasing her about her ma and pa. I wanted to say something to her to make her feel better. I just couldn't think of anything. Did Willie say anything to you?
Yeah. Shut up. Like he always does.
Well, he didn't mean it.
Then why does he say it?
Well, Pa says people say bad things they don't mean because they're not happy inside.
Willie must be awful unhappy inside.
Let's try to cheer him up tomorrow.
Let's not.
I know.
Willie also grew up to be well-dressed.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Nellie was with her giant bows and...
Oh, I can't compare the women. The women, yeah. It's just so... But, you know, it's Pa who we only see him wear a suit a few times, like when he goes to the Granger convention in Chicago or Philadelphia.
Yeah. No, it was Chicago, because that's where John Jr. was living.
John Jr. Rodimus Para.
Pass.
That's a tough one, the two-timer.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have to?
Laura Ingalls. All right.
You're not my ma.
Good.
Here's the zinger.
And if I say one bad thing to Willie, that just means I'm unhappy inside. Good night.
Just so you're aware.
There's really not much Laura in this episode.
No, but I love any plot with where Laura is very stubborn about things like that, where she doesn't understand, or she has like a fit or a fight with somebody, and she's like, "Well, I'm not gonna. I don't think God would want me to forgive them," like stuff like that. And it's like, Laura, you are just the most stubborn, and I love it.
Yeah, it's Mary's like Davy and Goliath episodes. I don't know if you've ever watched those.
What is it?
I may be dating myself right now.
Yeah.
Davy and Goliath. It was I don't know which religion. It was Christian.
Yeah.
But it was like claymation from the 60s. look, do a search for it, Davy and Goliath, when you get a chance. I think you'll really enjoy it. There's it's about a young kid and his dog, and are always trying to do the thing that Jesus would do.
A nice
and his dog talks. So
oh, good! Kind of I love dog talking animal.
Davey, what would Jesus do? literally a quote from the show.
Very specific morals to every episode, I imagine.
Dear Mark, I am a proud Christian. How dare you? That's the letter I'll get.
Yeah.
So, you Jew. it hasn't gotten anti-Semitic yet because Michael Landon was Jewish. So,
yeah,
I think. I'm okay for the moment.
In the clear.
For now. All right. So things are getting worse and worse. Caroline brings a needlepoint, really beautiful needlepoint. I guess I don't know much about needlepoint, but Harriet is really taken back, and she has one of these brooches that she must have 60 brooches.
Yeah.
They're always, and, her outfits, she must be wearing like 6 different outfits in this episode.
I know.
I lost count.
She looks great.
I'd like to get these little screenshots because every time we're in the parlor or the sitting room, their wallpaper seems to change.
Kind of really? Well, I'm never going to not notice that now.
Well, you know what else you could look out for, Raven?
Yeah.
Ferns. There are ferns. The plants?
Yeah.
Everywhere in Little House on the Prairie.
Well, I've noticed
wouldn't think
them.
So.
I've noticed them in the Olsen house before.
Yeah, they're rich enough to have ferns.
Yeah.
the blind school is a fern. The doctor, when Albert is at the place where he's getting adopted by Pa, there's a fern. There are ferns everywhere. There's, I forget the Halloween Dream, or I forget what it is. No, the Haunted House. The guy has a fern in his crappy house.
Everything else is covered in dust and sheets, but he's got a fern.
Right. The fern lives.
I just imagine, like, what do you, I don't know, the scene, it's missing something. We add a fern. That's it.
I keep thinking that it has something to do with microphones, but, which is possible.
Yeah.
It would be a good idea. It's a good way to kind of, you know, just stick it in the fern. It's like one fern that kind of rotates throughout all of these scenes.
Yeah, we'll just do the old fern hack.
One day I hope to release a coffee table book of the Little House on the Prairie's ferns.
Incredible.
And nobody will buy it.
I'll buy it.
But I'll give them away. No, I'll send you one.
Thank you.
All right, so Harriet is overwhelmed. She just thinks it's really sweet. Caroline is really being a decent friend here.
She's genuine. That
Harriet has never been to her.
Yeah, I mean, she's always very genuine. I mean, Harriet just I think Caroline accepts who she is, and that's how she's able to be so accommodating and genuine in her friendship towards her, because she's not carrying around this animosity towards her all the time.
And you know, Harriet's just, they're all true to themselves.
Yeah.
It's like, it's who she is, love it or leave it. And Caroline just kind of accepts it, like you said.
Right.
We've had
here we go.
Difficult moments. I know. And then this little kindness.
Now, do you remember the episode? I'm terrible with titles. The one where Laura befriends the rich guy. Maybe it's the richest man in
America. Oh, yeah. It's the banker.
Yeah.
Sprague. Is his name Sprague?
Sprague. Sprague or Sprague, one of them.
Yeah.
And he learns that it was Charles who wanted the bank loan, and had, you know, he thought that she was manipulating him.
Yeah.
Friendship.
This
would be a great time for Harry to go, but I'm still not going to pay more for the eggs.
Caroline, I've really enjoyed this show. Let me just give this. But
I just don't know what I would do with this. Maybe be a potholder.
I'm sure I'll find use for it somewhere.
Willie, take this.
A going away present. Well, it's very nice. I'm sure. Thank you.
They have been times.
Always, yes.
So I just wanted to play that. I do like their relationship. It's almost like a mother-daughter relationship, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Caroline, I think, often grounds her in whatever situation they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, you know, she's not a huge character. She's a great character and a lovable character, but she's not Harriet. I mean, Mrs. Olsen is just the biggest, most dramatic, outlandish character, I think, on the entire show in my eyes.
Next to Nancy.
Right. God, that girl.
I love Nancy. I would love to, I forget the actress's name right now, but I've tried to reach out to her for an interview. I would love to speak with her. Because I really do think that she was, a lot of people hated that character so much.
Right.
They genuinely hated it. I don't know. There's something about
thing,
that
I
character.
I mean, the thing that, you know, Allison is like, I learned to be hated and I love it now. It's like, that's what you have to do.
But Allison's such a badass. Like, she was a badass even when she was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, Allison did these political records when she was little. I don't know if, where she plays Jimmy Carter's daughter on a comedy record, and she just goofs on her the whole time. And they're on YouTube and everything. And it just gives you kind of an insight to Alison Arngrim's level of intelligence, I think. Because she was very young while doing this. What was her name? But like Amy Carter. And she's doing the impersonation. And it's like, this is deeply political. Like,
you're a kid.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And she's just a really, really just amazing person.
I'm so excited. She's coming on to do a live on February 17th with me on TikTok.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Yeah. We have to promote that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm so excited because I just know she's so fun and hilarious. So I think it's just going to be so, so much fun.
Yeah. Alison Arngrim, she's such a good person. Mm-hmm. She's been a friend to the show and she's just really open to not taking any of this seriously.
Mm-hmm. She's having fun with it.
And her stand-up is really, really good. It might be floating around there, but she does these live things where she does stand-up. And,
yeah.
They're really good. So, all right. So back in the we have Ma kind of using a little psychology against mm-hmm. Harriet a little bit. We hear Ma talking about men the way we've never heard Ma talk about men.
Right.
Say anything, of course. But, well, Mr. Olson hasn't exactly been an ideal husband, has he?
Ouch.
Oh, you have no idea. You'd be surprised how much we knew.
What the hell does that mean?
I know. It's like, that's my nightmare. It's like, well, how much stuff that I had thought was private is just floating around through the grove?
Yeah, this is some real, I don't know, real modern talk.
Oh, yeah, it's next level.
Yeah.
Really? Sort of mousy-like one minute?
Oh, yeah.
And a bully the next?
Yes.
Yelling and shouting? Really, not the kind of man one would want as a father for sensitive children. And certainly not a good businessman. Oh, we all knew who had the head for business in the family.
It's just so crazy. So Charles is out there, you know, Charles is in the position. He's always eating an apple when he's doing these type of things. Right. But the guy loved apples. So they probably bought like 700 pounds of apples for that one scene. So
yeah.
Gotta eat the apples.
Yeah.
They're going to just bake in the California heat. So we're talking to Nels and basically the same thing. Charles is talking the same way about Harriet.
Your whole life being good to him, trying to be nice and they take advantage. It's the old saying, give him an inch. Yeah. Everybody in town knew your wife was taking a mile. You know, I wouldn't be surprised in a few months if she hadn't driven off all the trade. Not much of a businesswoman.
That is a terrible thing to say.
It's very effective what they're doing because it's like really digging down deep past the argument. You're not talking about the argument anymore. You're talking about the person they love.
Yeah, it's like, but like you said, it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I wouldn't say this about some, I mean, I've had friends who've gone through divorces.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say these things.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, spouse. it's overstepping, but it is a very close-knit community, I guess. And, you know, why not give it a shot? Like, you don't want to see this family fall apart.
Well, I think the reality is also the town's going to go under.
Right.
Let's be real here. Where are we going to buy our dry goods, Raven?
Yeah, it's scare tactic.
It's like, where am I going to sell my eggs?
We
got to save them for those 6 cents.
I know. You can't possibly just get everything from the county fair when it swings through.
But I wish. So I think, you know, reality is starting to set in.
Duck hunting, and I had a boot full of water. I pulled the boot off, and all this muddy water went all over her clean floor. Oh, she'd like to tore the hide right off me. Yeah, she sure can get mad.
David Rose cues the music.
Charles, what in life got into me? I love that woman.
I know.
I can't let her go.
So he goes in and mm-hmm. curses, almost, sort of. Barges into the mercantile like he owns the place.
The nerves.
Harriet, I've been a darn fool.
Nels.
I've let our argument go on and on and on, and all the while, I've loved you as much as the day I married you.
maybe even more.
I'm wearing my special red hat.
Like a phoenix.
But her hats are crazy. I mean, that's very, another thing.
Yeah.
I have one of these Sears around here somewhere. It's a Sears catalog, like the 1895 catalog.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's awesome.
You can find them. I got my hands on a reprint, but I also got my hands on a real one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't touch the real one. But the reprint is beautiful. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed by the stuff that's in there. I mean, it's like 1,000 pages.
Right. It's everything you could possibly need.
Morphine. You know, Albert would love it.
Oh, yeah, I know. His favorite subscription.
it's circled.
Poor kid.
Little Christmas trees drawn next to the morphine.
I know. Please.
In the glassine envelope.
You just gotta have it.
And a microscope, because I'm going to be a doctor.
Right, somehow.
Actually. But the hats, $12, $13, and each dollar is equal to about $25. So you're looking at like $300 for a hat.
Right. She's got to maintain her status.
But you know what? She could buy it at wholesale. So.
Right. Well, also, I mean, often it was the, well, I don't know that there wasn't a business like that where in Walnut Grove, at least, where you would go in with your hat and then basically do a la carte and update it.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know.
She had so many.
I know. But yeah,
this one alone,
it's the bases of the hats. They're all different. So it's not even, that wouldn't even be it. And I feel like you'd have to go to Mankato or something to, you know, buy new feathers and jewels and birds or whatever to put in the hat.
Mankato, it's a day and a half away.
I know. It's
like
not
40
worth it.
Miles.
We're not driving to Mankato for a hat.
Yes, we are.
Well, haven't you got anything to say?
I was just on my way to find you to tell you exactly the same thing.
These two.
So sweet.
I think they're going to make it.
So cute.
So yeah, they make up. It's very sweet. They hug, and Caroline is like watching a soap opera. She may as well have the, you know, eating popcorn while, like, oh, this is a commercial break, you know. It's so they, then, I don't know, this is maybe a couple weeks later, you know, yeah. The honeymoon's over maybe, and Caroline comes into town with Carrie.
Well, I'll just be a minute.
All right. And we can turn the wagon around.
I didn't catch that. You say he was going to turn the wagon around. I don't think he does.
Yeah.
Liar. That's a rickety wagon. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I'm not very confident. I wouldn't want to take it to Mankato.
I wonder if there's anything in the home mechanic to refurbish your thing.
You right. De-creak your wagon.
De-creak. A little bacon grease or something.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, here's something. Mm-hmm. That bell. Okay. Now, the bell is there to alert you when somebody comes in.
Right.
How come they don't have a bell in the blind school?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, the mercantile is one room. I mean, you know, you can pretty much see when somebody's coming in, but yeah.
How much is a bell? How much is a bell? A penny?
I don't, I mean, you'd have to ask Tinker Jones. No, but I mean, yeah, it's like, think of all of the fires that could have been prevented if everybody would just have a bell.
But then again, it would be fodder for comic discussion, because they'd all be running around with bells on. But if they had bells on the front door of the blind school, I mean, there are so many scenes where Ma just walks into the blind school and just watching everybody.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to do that in a blind school.
No, I mean, it could
Hester Sue's the only person with vision.
Right. I mean, and she, you know, she can definitely take on anybody that should come in. But I mean, if you get the James brothers coming in, they're armed and Hester Sue isn't. She's got her.
Don't even bring them up.
No. But I mean, you know, yeah, maybe lock the door or something.
We know there's locks. I mean, the again, the Olsons have it.
Yeah.
But it would have been just very smart to have a little bell
mm-hmm.
on the doorknob.
Yeah, walk you've in. Got company.
Jeez. Morning, Mrs. Ingalls.
Morning, Mrs. Olson. Mr. Olson.
Morning, Mrs. Ingalls. Well, now, oh, those are fine eggs. They deserve top price.
Nels, dear. I'll be the judge of that.
Are any of these double yolks?
I know.
Now, how many, Mrs. Ingalls?
2 dozen.
All right. Same price as usual.
But, dear, we raised the price that we're selling them for.
Please, dear.
But we did raise the price.
Please, dear.
It'd be kind of messed up. I mean, this, of course, wouldn't happen. But in the basket, she should have, like, the needle point to put the eggs on top.
Add a little spice.
In case it breaks, it protects the basket.
Right.
You kindly tend to your own affairs?
Anything that has to do with the store is my affair, including the price of eggs.
Oh, and just when did that start?
It's always been that way, and you know it.
Oh, no, it hasn't. You haven't bought one egg since the store opened, nor an inch of yard goods, nor
a spool
of thread.
Well, I could buy yard goods a lot better than you've ever done.
Oh, you could you? And what about the time you bought the plows, huh? For 4 times the price, and they didn't sell, did they?
I sold them.
Uh-huh, at a loss.
At a profit.
You did
And
not.
You would know that if you looked in the book.
Oh, I looked in the book, and who can read those spider tracks that you call
spider tracks? Why, I want...
So it just goes on and on. And the best part is Caroline just kind of packs up her eggs and... Yeah. Oh, no, she packs them up, puts them to the side, and just says, put them on my account. Like, I don't care.
I can't do this again. I did it once.
She's like, I've seen this one.
I know. Well, it's like it's if like, you just watch it back to back, it's an endless loop.
Yeah.
And we're actually, just right back.
Re-edit.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, that's how it ends. It does. We get one more little thing at the end. Yeah, Pa did not turn that wagon around. He's still facing
the same
exact
he's
direction.
He's lazy.
And he's playing a very weird game with Carrie. I don't like.
Normal, Charles.
Let's see. Just listen to what Charles is saying.
Yeah.
Ride like a gentleman. Ride like a gentleman. Ride like a gentleman.
Ride like a
what
gentleman.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's meaning you don't ride side saddle?
Yeah.
Like on your knee?
I mean, I get that. We're not at Versailles here, but...
You are caught, sir.
I know.
Get your hands off her. Oh, my poor... But, this is like a Michael Landon game. I'm going to bet that they all had like their, you know, he loved kids. You know, yeah. We know that. And doing anything in between scenes just to have fun because she looks like she's having a great time.
Right. You don't want him to, I mean, if, you know, you don't want him to get bored or
yeah.
You want to make sure that their time on set is enjoyable. And all of the, I mean, you hear that from everybody. They have so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, how's the lovebirds this morning?
Back to normal, Charles. Back to normal.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear.
Another thing I have to look up, I'm always thinking of things to look up, is whether it was customary for the driver of a wagon to sit on the right.
That's very interesting. I mean, with as far as roads go, when you think about One Direction being designated for, you know, each lane, like
when we see the like Mankato,
yeah,
the way the wagons are moving is this traditional, you know, American way with two lanes. I just don't know when that was established or whether it was just personal preference.
Right. Cause I mean, I can't, or well, I wonder if there was like an etiquette thing where the lady sits on this side or just if, cause there are always those etiquette rules where, I don't know. They're just super specific things that ladies have to do.
But in their bed, for instance, he's on the left side. So I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
No, it's interesting. But, I mean, you're just spreading it to me because now I'll be thinking it.
Raven, I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing this. It was a real blast.
Yeah.
And I'm such a fan of your work. And I look forward to – I'm a big fan of adult fiction.
Okay.
I mean, young adult fiction.
Yeah.
It's stuff I've read a lot of, when I was, at work kind of dealing with a lot of it. So Yeah, I'm looking forward to following your career and seeing where it goes and seeing where TikTok takes you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited about the book because I read a lot of YA too, and it's just such a – I think it's such a just warm and fun, quick read, all of them. Mm-hmm. But there's always a lot of depth if you're reading the right stuff, and that's what I wanted to do, was create a story that represented who I am, which is – very old fashioned and old soul, and it's very wholesome. It's not overtly sexual. And I just really love that time period, the culture. So,
yeah,
and I really wanted to share those, that queer story because, and I've said this in my lives before, but you know, queer love stories have always existed. Queer people have always existed. So why not explore what those stories might be?
Right. I think that it's a period of time where where things are opening up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we see that more and more and more.
Yeah.
I think that it's the right time to put something out there like this,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the genre where it's not in your face, where it's kind of, you can stumble across it and mm-hmm. read it. Whether the one thing I like about young adult novels is, you don't have to always identify with the characters. You can just go along,
mm-hmm.
but very often you do identify with some of the characters.
Right.
And I find that there's something about it that gets lost with older stories.
Mm-hmm.
With they don't have as much substance as I can't think of an example, but very often I find with modern writers, they lose a certain level of understanding of character development
that
adult readers,
like the young adult can fall books, flat.
They're a little bit more developed. They're a little bit more realistic, I think.
I think they're definitely more varied too. I think it's very easy to see stock characters in adult fiction. And there are of course exceptions to everything, but with young adult fiction, I think it's, you have these really awesome stories about a Middle Eastern queer dethroned princess fighting to like gain control of the power over the kingdom. And that was We Hunt the Flame. We did that for a book club. But you have very specific and well-rounded characters that are just one of a kind and unlike anything you've ever encountered before. Often, I'm not saying for everything, but often and especially more recently, I find those characters that are just completely original. And I love when that happens.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really interested to read your stories. It seems as though you have a very good grasp, of humor and seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's weird. Like, I never really thought of TikTok as being a platform to really understand the basis of what somebody is putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing I find with, and you don't even have a billion videos. You have a few dozen videos.
Yeah.
It's just when I started kind of diving through it, I found mm-hmm. there was a certain level of seriousness, really edgy humor, the not so edgy humor where it's like you're presenting it because you find it funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it is funny. It's just, I really enjoyed what you put out there. So I'm really kind of interested in your stories and what you're
writing.
Thank
you. Well, yeah. And I mean, my music too, that's the whole other part of that. Like each one is an individual story. They're not, each, like you've got the sailor, the merman, the prince, the salesman, you have all of these different little stories. And I think that's what I enjoy about what I put out. You know, I'm still very critical of everything I do, but I mean, make stuff that I would enjoy.
Critics, you know?
Oh, 100%. And it gets exhausting sometimes, but I mean, you know, it helps you get to a really good place with what you're creating. And then after a certain point, you just have to be like, okay, stop, because mm-hmm. otherwise you'll never release it. because it's never going to be good enough for you. And you have to get it out of your head.
Was a good old-fashioned American love story your first big write? Like, is this like the first time you're really putting something together?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it was the longest I've ever worked on a project. It was about a year and a half of me writing it. Mm-hmm. And I finished my first draft in June. I think it was June. And since then I've gone through like four more drafts, and I'm very confident and content where it is right now. And especially when I go back and look at the first draft and I see the growth and the development of the world and Sam and Neil and Ruth and Winnie and all my characters becoming more three-dimensional. And it just my drive is just constantly, every time I do an edit, reinforced, because I see the growth and improvement, and it just makes me love them all that much more. And I'm like, you guys, work with me here. Pop off the page and let's get you out there.
Do you have other projects going on at the same time?
So I am currently working on, you could say that I'm adapting my music into short stories, because each individual song, like I said, is a story. So I'm working on The Prince right now. And the whole premise of The Prince is that it's the classic. He's supposed to be married to the princess so he can be king. The prince is in love with the baker's son. So it's just kind of a little love story. But so I'm adapting those songs into.
You know, I've never been a fan until more recently of like rock operas and stuff like that. It was always over my head, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And it's only more maybe in the past 5 years I kind of really appreciate the true telling of stories through music. It's something I'd never really I played music since I was 14. I've been in like 200 bands. I've written a lot of music. I just never really thought of telling a story, to be honest with you. I don't think it's something that I think I'm more musical than I am a good storyteller. But the thing is that there's a band called the Lemon Twigs, and they're very young, like 18 and 19 years old. They're brothers. And they wrote a rock opera. Wow. And they're developing. I think one day they're going to put out an album that's right up there. I don't know what kind of music you really listen to, but like for me, the Holy Grail would be like a Beach Boys, Pet Sounds or something. I think that they're on that spiritual level.
That's incredible.
And yeah, I'll send you a link to it, just to see what you think of it. But they wrote a song about a kid who was being bullied in school, dealing with some queer issues, and how he burned the school to the ground and killed 100 people. But I got to say, like, outside of it being a really wild story, it's just the music. If I had half this talent at this age, at that age, it would have.
Well, it's exciting.
Just incredible.
It's exciting to see some like a group so young and early in their career, and then be able to participate and follow along.
But now that you're focusing on your writing career, and right now you're I would say you're shopping it. You're finishing it, shopping it, and please keep us in the loop as to when this will get published.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah. If you're going to put up the link to my website.
Yeah, I was going to say, where would be the best place for people to follow your career?
Yeah, so, I mean, I am pretty active on TikTok, but that's it's hard because you're not going to see every video I post. So the best way to stay up to date on my projects and what I'm working on and the progress of all of these projects is to subscribe to my website, because that's where you have that direct email list where I can just directly communicate to everybody that's interested. This is what's going on. I got an agent. I got a publishing deal. I have a release date. So that way it's just more direct. And then when you sign up and you subscribe to the website, you get a free excerpt from the book.
Well, I'm going to do that right now. It's mrstoneauthor.wixsite.com/homepage. Yes. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and let's see, I'm doing it right now.
Awesome.
but yeah, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do with your writing and music and everything. I think there's great things that are right in front of you, and just keep it up. I'm really looking forward to your next TikTok, but I'm going to avoid all the other people on TikTok. I don't know. I don't know how many times I can watch somebody dance to a song at all.
It's very small number for me. So yeah, no, I'm honored.
And I'll have my son watch. Well, you know what? I'm going to have my son just let me know when the video comes out. Because if it's on my phone, I'm going to say, all right, I guess I'll watch a Selena Gomez video.
All right. You don't want to get sucked in.
Ooh, Will Smith put a new video out.
Right.
Snoop Dogg. So I'm like looking here. Those are the suggested accounts right now next to you. Is Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay. Guy's like 64 years old.
Yeah.
He's on TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, I think, especially after COVID, not after, during, but this past year, that's why TikTok really has blown up, because it's just, you can do it from your home, and it's entertainment. And on top of that, it is a social networking platform. So I think all this free time that so many people had, you know, definitely helped TikTok really, really blow up, because it was big before, but it's the biggest now.
As somebody who has worked from home for about 10 years, I've gotten no free time except for when I had COVID. And at that period of time, I was building a 3D printer. I've been putting it off for half a decade, but I finally built the 3D printer. But yeah, I mean, everyone's talking about like they have so much free time. Well, I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah. I mean, I had some more free time, cause I was off for 7 months, and I was working on my edits of my book and writing new songs and starting, short story series as well. So I mean, I had more free time than I had, but I had about the same amount of free time as I would have had I not been not working. Or is that?
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that's great. You didn't just sit around, you know, watching Netflix. You probably everybody watched some of Netflix.
But yeah.
It's, you got it.
I mean, I use the time as an opportunity that I'm never going to have this bulk of time again.
Let's hope.
Hopefully. Yeah.
You have to remember, I'm in the armpit of the planet here on Long Island. So yeah. It's, and my wife is, she runs a nursing home. Like she's the administrator in a 400 bed facility.
Wow.
And every day I get a text from her. It's like 11 positive.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Then I spray her down with something when she comes home. I give her a big hug. I give her a big hug, you know?
Yeah.
Welcome home. You're all wet from that Lysol.
It's very futuristic.
It is. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But Raven, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on and taking the time and let me steal your morning. But yeah, on TikTok, it's Mr. Stone Author. I think that's pretty much your name throughout all of these, but I'll still put a link. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.